Ephesians chapter 4. And let us look at verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We'll preach tonight on forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. And we've been preaching this series on caring Christians. And I believe a caring Christian will have a desire in their heart to want to forgive. The Lord has a lot to say about forgiveness. And so I believe an unforgiving spirit creates all kinds of problems. I've counseled with some people down through the years that have had physical problems, and not because of sickness, not because of injury, but because of attitudes in their hearts. And many psychiatrists have observed that people who have emotional problems often have an unforgiving spirit. And I believe this is the reason that the Apostle Paul wrote here in chapter 4, and begin reading in verse 30, where he says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Now we need to keep in mind also that the Apostle Paul is speaking to a local church here, speaking to a bunch of Baptists, church members here at the church at Ephesus. And so he's talking to the church family. And so we want to notice, first of all tonight, what are some of the evidences of an unforgiving spirit? What are some of the evidences of an unforgiving spirit? How can we tell we've got an unforgiving spirit? Now, we want to notice, first of all, corrupt communication. I believe one of the greatest evidences that we have a forgiving spirit is the way that we talk about people. The way we talk about people. In verse 29, he says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Now, we need to keep in mind when we have maybe some bitterness or whatever in our heart, we need to stop and think before we speak and ask ourselves the question, is this going to edify my brother? Is this going to edify my sister? What I'm about to say, is this going to help them? Is this going to benefit them? Or is this going to hurt them? And so, I believe one of the greatest evidences that we have of a forgiving spirit is the way that we talk about people. When we have an unforgiving spirit, we say things about people that we shouldn't say. And that's so true. Have you ever noticed that when a person has an unforgiving spirit, they'll hold a grudge? They'll hold a grudge. In verse 31 there, he says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." So we notice here the evil speaking. Now, let's notice next our inner feelings. I believe another evidence is bad feelings on the inside. Bad feelings on the inside. And no doubt people would be shocked sometimes if they could see what we feel in our hearts. If they could see what we feel in our hearts. It'd be shocking, wouldn't it? There in verse 31 again there, he said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger. Now keep in mind that he's talking to a bunch of saved people. He's talking to a bunch of people that are members of a Baptist church. And he's telling them, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You say, oh, we don't have any of that here. Y'all ever been in a business meeting where some of this has been displayed? Some bitterness, hard feelings, wrath, anger, shouting at one another. Ever been in a business meeting where they just shout at one another? Huh? That's sad, but that's true in some Baptist churches. And so he's talking to saved people. And so somebody hurts us, and we get bitter. Bitterness is to the heart what an infection is to the body. Now, did y'all get that? Bitterness is to the heart what an infection is to the body. It's eventually going to come out. It's eventually going to come out. You know, when you have infection, everything's sort of very, very sensitive. Everything hurts. You don't believe that? You go tomorrow and visit Elizabeth and ask her about that. Very sensitive. Hurts. And so some Christians hold things inside, and the bitterness just grows like poison. And so bitterness is an evidence of an unforgiving spirit. And we've got to watch that. It's awful easy to become bitter. Wrath, he mentions wrath and anger and clamor. These are the outward evidences of that inward feeling. The outward evidences of that inward feeling. So when there's bitterness in the heart, when there's bitterness in the heart, you can't hide it. Can you? When you're bitter, you can't hide it. You may think you are, but you can't. You can't hide it. It's going to come out. It's eventually going to come out. And when that person we are bitter toward is mentioned, we'll get angry, or we'll decide to say something that we shouldn't say. So corrupt communication, evil speaking, bitterness, wrath, anger, and malice are evidences of an unforgiven spirit. Malice is that hateful feeling that we nurture down inside. How easy it is to lay in bed at night and to think up all sorts of evil things about those that have wronged us. Huh? Y'all have never done that, I'm sure, have you? So, let's ask the question. When we have this kind of attitude, are we hurting the other person? Let me ask another one. If someone has sinned against me, or if someone has done something I didn't like, and if I harbor resentment down inside, am I hurting that person? No. I'm only hurting myself. So having an unforgiving spirit is something like committing spiritual suicide. We're only hurting ourselves. We're only hurting ourselves. So what are the evidences of an unforgiving spirit? Unkind words. Evil words. Bitter thoughts. Bitter feelings. Down inside. Now let's notice also some essentials for a forgiving spirit. And I don't believe any of us here tonight want to be unforgiving. I believe we want to be willing to forgive. We want others to forgive us, don't we? And if we want others to forgive us, we ought to be willing to forgive others. And I thought this was real good, jotted it down here. The person who will not forgive others is destroying the bridge on which he may have to walk himself someday. Did you get it? The person who will not forgive others is destroying the bridge on which he may have to walk himself someday. I thought that was good. If we don't forgive others, we're putting a barrier between us and other people and between us and the Lord. In fact, our Lord Jesus Christ said that forgiving our brother is one of the conditions for answered prayer. In the book of Matthew, chapter 6, and notice verse 15. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 15. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Boy, that's pretty straight, isn't it? If ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So if you're not willing to forgive your brother or your sister, the Lord's not going to forgive you. And we're going to be in worse condition. Now, we want to notice the first essential here for a forgiving spirit, and that is kindness. Kindness. There in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32 there, he said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7, he says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So Paul had talked about kindness here in reference to our salvation. Have you ever stopped to think about how kind God has been to you? How kind He has been to you? How loving He has been to you? How forgiving He has been to you? In the book of Titus, in the book of Titus, chapter 3, in Titus chapter 3, we'd like to notice verse 3. In Titus 3 and verse 3 through 5, he says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that the kindness..." Now notice that. "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." So here in Titus chapter 3 describes what we used to be like before we were saved. Why were we able to trust the Lord for salvation? Well, primarily because of His mercy. Because of His mercy. Because of His kindness that He displayed to us. In the book of Samuel, in the book of Samuel, and in 2 Samuel, I'd like to read a few verses there. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, 2 Samuel chapter 9, and notice verse 1. "And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And then in verse 3, he said, "And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And so, I believe here we have a beautiful illustration in this chapter of the kindness of God. What is the kindness of God? Well, I believe a good definition of it would be undeserved kindness. Undeserved kindness. I didn't deserve the kindness of God. Had Saul done anything good for David? No. Yet David said, "I want to show God's kindness to somebody in the house of Saul." In other words, he says, "I want to forgive." And they found Mephibosheth, a lame man who was the son of Jonathan, and David showed kindness to Mephibosheth because of Jonathan. That's a mouthful. And so we see the kindness of God displayed. And so we see that the Lord is kind to us, not because we're so good, but for Jesus' sake. Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I'm not going to forgive, if I'm going to forgive, I'm going to have to show kindness. If you're going to forgive, you're going to have to show kindness. And so the kindness of the Lord is shown to those that don't deserve it. Now let's notice the second essential here of a forgiven spirit, and that's tenderheartedness. Tenderheartedness. You know, a hard heart is a terrible thing. When you have a hard heart, it robs you of a lot of blessings. It robs you of a lot of joy. And we can become hard-hearted. And I believe that hard heart is a result of bitterness. It's the result of anger. It's the result of wrath. It's the result of malice. And so a hard heart results when we harbor evil feelings inside. And so there in our reading in Ephesians chapter 4, and verse 32, he said, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted." Tenderhearted. And so Paul said that if we are tenderhearted, then we can forgive. But we've got to be tenderhearted. Now, the next essential is honesty. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, Ephesians 4:15, he says, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." But speaking the truth in love. Now, in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, in Matthew chapter 18, and let's notice verse 15. "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault." Now let me say this. We wouldn't have to practice any discipline, church discipline, if these verses here was practiced. Now notice it. "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone." All right? That's fair enough, isn't it? You got aught against your brother, you got aught against your sister, you go to them first, alone. Don't worry about what they're going to say. Don't worry about what they're going to do at this point. But you've got to do that first. "And if he shall hear thee," everything's taken care of. You know what he's saying? "If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more." All right? They wouldn't accept your apology or whatever. The matter wasn't settled. You come and get me and Brother Charlie, and we'll go with you. Okay? Now notice, "But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established." All right, now that needs to be practiced. You don't just let the thing ride. We have people that are laying out of church for 3 months, 6 months, 8 months, a year at a time, doesn't darken the door of the church. What do we have to do about that? We've got to go to them. We take two or three with us and we go and we try to encourage them and try to get them come back to church. Now notice, and if he shall neglect to hear them, then tell it unto the church. Then tell them to the church. All right, then we go, we get all of those that are involved. The word was established in the mouth of myself and Charlie, and we bring them before the church, and we say, now this is what took place. Now, church, you decide what needs to be done. Isn't that right? Now, notice, if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church, but if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. So in other words, you discipline them. But we see here, the Lord gave us instructions how to get along with each other. And this is how we get along with each other. In my experience as a pastor has been that when we take that first step, the Lord usually works in the person's heart and the problem gets settled. Biggest part of the time. It gets taken care of. And it's wonderful when God's people can be honest with each other in love. Don't harbor bitterness down inside. If someone in the church has done something against you, don't go around talking about it. Don't be bitter. Don't develop a hard heart. Don't think up unkind things to say and to do to that person. Go to that person honestly and humbly and try to get the thing settled. Don't let that thing brew. I've gone into churches where people hadn't spoken to one another for years. One sat on this side and one sat on this side. And have all those hurtful, unforgiving feelings and spirit. A little leaven, as we said Sunday, leavens the whole lump. Little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Why do we forgive others? Why do we forgive others? Well, primarily because God has forgiven us. God has forgiven us. You may say, well, I can forgive, but I can't forget. The Bible does not say that we forget all these things. In the Bible, to forget means not to hold against a person. Not to hold against a person. Now, turn with me to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 8, and let us look at verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Here in Hebrews 8, it does not mean he actually forgets. God cannot forget anything. It simply means he does not hold it against us any longer. Doesn't hold it against us any longer. So we can forgive because God has forgiven us. You may say, well, it's awfully hard to forgive. But it's harder not to forgive. It's harder not to forgive. If we don't forgive, what happens? Number one, we grieve the Holy Spirit. If we don't forgive, we deny what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. If we don't forgive, we are not walking in love, as Ephesians 5 says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. And so if we care for our brothers and sisters in the Lord, we're going to forgive. You know, life is too short. Life is too short to have enemies. Isn't it? It sure is. Now, I'd like to read a couple passages of Scripture before we close. In Matthew 11. Turn over here to Matthew 11. And read a couple verses there. In Matthew chapter 11. That isn't what I want to hear. Well, that's not the one I wanted. I do that occasionally. Look at Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. Luke 17. In verse 3. I was writing those scriptures down when my wife was driving today, so that might have had something to do with it. I'll blame it on her. look at verse 3. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Well, that's quite a few times, isn't it? So may the Lord help us tonight and show us the damage that we can do to ourselves and to our brothers and sisters in the Lord by not having a forgiving spirit. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. That's the way you husbands and wives go on, don't you? Huh? You're honest with one another. Something bothering you? Well, you tell one another. You're honest, aren't you? This is our church family. And we're honest to one another. Aren't we? We're supposed to be. And we'll be willing to forgive. I don't know. Maybe there's some here tonight. Maybe some on this side. And maybe one or two on this side. Maybe you got some ought against one another. You need to get rid of that. Maybe you got some bitterness. You need to get that taken care of. Don't harbor those terrible feelings. It's not going to do you any good or that other person. It's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt both of you.